Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, June 5th. Today we'll be talking about Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. Then we'll move over to Luke and continue in the third chapter. And we'll finish up today with Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Let's go over our weekly memory verse. I'll say the first phrase and then you repeat it. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Luke 24, 51. I'm curious if the memory verses are sticking with you with this auditory version. Do you remember last week's verse? I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I love how each week it kind of goes along with our sermon. And so this week's memory verse is about Jesus' ascension. And our sermon this week was a powerful reminder that Jesus is the prophet above all else. He gave God's word to God's people. That he is the perfect high priest. He is seated even now at the right hand of God the Father, and he is interceding on our behalf. And he is the perfect king. He reigns in glory. And as 1 Chronicles 29:11 says, that the Lord's is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, and everything in heaven and earth is his. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You're the king. You are exalted as head of all. And so we begin this podcast in worship because you are glorious, Lord Christ. Let us move on to the passages. First, we're going to read from Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. Paul is talking to the Galatians, reminding them that they didn't begin with legalism and that being legalist is not how they're going to grow. Instead, Paul is calling them to remember the grace that they have received. Just like Abraham believed God, they believed it wasn't based on their works, and their salvation is still rooted in grace. This concept of salvation by works is distorting to the gospel, because we all know that we can't work enough to achieve our salvation. The work has been done by our Savior Jesus Christ. And yet there is a balance, correct? We talk about this a lot. Because of God's grace, hopefully we're living a life of gratitude that works itself out in doing things that God has called us to do. But attempting to earn salvation leaves us empty and without joy. Starting in verse 1, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain? If it really was in vain? So again, I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law.' Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, 'The person who does these things will live by them.' Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Okay, let's move over to the Gospel of Luke. Today we're in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through 37. Are you ready to have some fun? I'm about to read the genealogy of Jesus. And I do not know how to pronounce all of these names. I have heard before that you just have to say it confidently. I'm going to try to do all of them. And as I read these names, I want you to pinpoint maybe three or four that you can go back and think about their stories and how God intersected their lives in the Old Testament. The baptism and genealogy of Jesus. When all the people were baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Matthah, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janai, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Math, the son of Mattathias, the son of Simeon, the son of Josek, the son of Joda, the son of Joanan, the son of Resha, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adi, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmadam, the son of Er, the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Joram, the son of Mattat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Maliah, the son of Mena, the son of Mattathah, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nashon, the son of Amminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Kenan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Let's end today by moving over to Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ear to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion, and your lips may preserve knowledge. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. Quickly here at the end, I want to connect the thoughts of discretion, so us having the discretion that comes from wisdom, when we are angry, as Paul was angry with the Galatians because they have forgotten their true love and they've forgotten the gospel. So here are a couple of thoughts on how we might calmly respond in a way that is honoring to Christ our Lord. First, ground yourself in grace before you respond. Think about the fact that Jesus Christ has been quick to hear with you and slow to speak and slow to anger with you. And so as we think about reacting, may we take a breath and pray silently to the Lord, give me the patience that I need in this situation. After we remind ourselves of God's grace, then perhaps we are honest with ourselves about what we are feeling, and we take those feelings to the Lord. Think about 2 Corinthians 10:5. We take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. If you're angry at a situation or at a person, perhaps you can pray, as it says in James 5:16, the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. So we pray for wisdom and kindness and unity. And also we pray for strength, that the Lord would help us to appropriately respond in whatever situation we face. Finally, as Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good. Would you pray with me? Father, we need discretion in our relationships and in the way that we talk with others, especially when we're angry. Help us, Lord, to remember that you are so patient with us, and help us to see others in the way that you see us. Lord, we take every thought captive before you even now, and we want to make it obedient to you. You see us, you strengthen us, and we pray, Lord, that you would help us not to see others as a problem to be fixed, but someone for whom Christ died. Give us compassion for others and curiosity, and help us to put ourselves in their shoes. Lord, help us to make boundaries where we need to make boundaries, and also to have clear expectations if we're frustrated. Lord, we lift the names of our family and friends and coworkers and acquaintances to you and ask for your help in seeing them with eyes of compassion. Help us, Lord, to do the right things and for the right reasons, not because we believe that we are saved through works. Lord, we know we're saved through your grace, but we want to be a fragrant offering of gratitude to you by the way that we interact with others. So please help us not to become weary in doing good, but to see your kingdom as our purpose and our goal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the prophet, priest, and king. Amen.